and someday her and her husband are called to take a city. Amen. Help me welcome up Sister Jeanette.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys here this night. First of all, I just want to thank God for my salvation. I am more than privileged and you know, honored that God would even save somebody like me. You know, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. And I also want to just thank my pastors for giving me the opportunity to even speak tonight. Once again, I'm not worthy. So if we can open up in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you, my God, for this night, God. I just pray, Father God, that you move, Holy Spirit, this night, God. I pray, Father God, that you open every ear, God, that you open every heart, Father God, that you begin to saturate this place within your presence, God. I pray, Father God, that your word go forth this night, God. I pray, Father God, for a radical movement, my God. I pray for passion to be stirred this night, Father God. In Jesus' name, take full control. Amen. So I'm just going to tell you guys a little bit about myself. You know, it's not enough time for me to actually give you my whole story, right? So, I've been drinking and smoking and getting high ever since I was about 11 years old. My cousin was a part of the Latin Kings gang. So, of course, I hung out with nothing but gangbangers ever since I was a little kid. So I started breaking into cars and started stealing cars. I was always fighting and I was wilding out. I was also messing around with a bunch of girls, always high, always drunk. There was a void in my heart, a heavy void. I had to stay high, I had to drink to numb all the pain that I had within myself. I was always suicidal, snorting coke and popping pills, getting high, drinking and partying. After going through a suicide binge and overdosing, I got locked up into a mental institution. And once I got out, of course, I picked up right where I left off because I had to stay high. I had that void in my heart. I had so much hatred for life. And I hated being sober. I had to be on something. Even being in and out of jail, it still couldn't stop me. I always knew where Victory Outreach was because I was in and out of the church there. I was never consistent, never committed, but I also never forgot the feeling that I would get during altar call. I would crave that feeling. I would pray for God to give me that feeling. I didn't understand what that feeling was at altar call. I wanted it so bad because it was a beautiful feeling of brokenness. I was locked and I was stuck in bondage. I didn't know how to change. But how many know, one day after one service, one miraculous, beautiful service, 3.5 years ago, God did it. He took it all away from me. He answered all my prayers and he answered all my cries. He heard my pain. He took the drugs, the alcohol, the depression, the bondage, and he started to fill me with joy. He set me free. He delivered me. And after 1 year of being consistent and faithful in the church, my husband and I started getting used in the ministry. I started out in the kids' gang. I started out by the doors, the front doors greeting. I was put over a credit card machine for tithing. I mean, who am I? I'm not worthy. Why am I getting used? And my husband and I became leaders in the church. My husband became the head usher, and then we were asked to open up a life group. I became the United We Can coordinator, and I became a gang leader within the youth. Several months ago, I just opened up my second life group. Who would have ever thought that somebody like me could even be transformed? It was the power of God that was able to save me and transform me. God still loves me. God loves you. No matter what position you're in right now, I don't know what mindset you're in or where your heart is at. But I just want to let you know that God can change it. I want to open up your Bibles to Galatians 2:20. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Once again, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the beautiful thing that God has blessed me with, is his love, his joy, his unconditional grace. I now live for Christ and I'm committed to him. He gave his life for me, so I'm going to live for him. Amen? And we can all do it today. If he can do it for me and he can set me free of all the things that I've been through, he can also set you free this night. Amen. God bless you guys. I want to close out in a word of prayer. Father God, I just pray, Lord God, that your word moves hearts this night, God. I pray, Father God, that you will begin to move and stir something within each and every person here, God. I pray, Father God, for your calling, my God, to take place, my God, within each and every person here, God. I pray, Father God, for people to begin to rise up, God, and take position, God, of what you've called them to do, God. I pray, Jesus, that you have your way, God. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done within my life, God, and within all the people here in the church, God, and what you continue to do, God, because this is just the beginning. I pray for revival and radicalism, God, within the church, Lord. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for all that you've done for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Praise the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another big hand of praise. Hallelujah. How many know it's good that we share a testimony, amen, and we're able to connect with one another, right? What God has done in our lives, right? What he's taken us out of, what he saved us from, amen. And it could have been like a mental issue, a mental battle, right? Having suicidal thoughts and depression, or you're right locked up in your mindset, right? But when the power of Jesus comes, right, and he delivers us and he set us free, right? There's a freedom, there's a liberty within our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, here tonight, as you grab your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. As you guys turn your Bibles there, I just want to take this time to acknowledge, amen, the Lord for my salvation. Right? I thank God for what he saved me from, what he's rescued me from. Right, I've been in the church now 3 years, right? We're serving the Lord in ministry, amen, and I'm just very, very grateful, and amen. I feel privileged, right, to be standing here, amen. I also want to thank my pastor, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, amen. They're available to us, amen. All the depositing, all the investments, all the impartations, right? And thank you, Pastor and Sister Marlene. We as the gang leadership, we acknowledge all of your leadership, your pastoralship, and we want to thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I also want to thank the gang team. Come on, somebody. Right? Without the team, amen. Amen. I wouldn't be able to have none of this, right, operating, right? And they're coming up. They're sharing, opening up, right? Testifying, 5 minutes of fire, right? The rap. Come on, somebody. Right? I thank God for the gang team. Amen. I feel blessed. Right? I feel blessed that there's the UTC alumni in position, right? And, you know, leaders taking their place within the gang, amen. And I feel blessed here this beautiful night. Praise the Lord. As I go into the scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let me get a loud amen when everybody's there. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in chapter 9 of verses 24, it says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." Turn to your neighbor, say, "Run to win." Verse 25 says, "All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize." How many are in agreement with me here tonight? Verse 26 says, "So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing." Verse 27 says, "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Amen. Let's go ahead and pray one more time. Father Heaven, we come before you one more time, God, and we're just asking right now your continuous anointing, God, that, Lord, that you would just speak, Lord, Father God, to hearts, God, here this night. I pray, open up hearts, Lord, and allow us just to be receptive, God, to the gospel, God, to the message, Lord, Father. I pray, hide me behind your pulpit. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And see here, this was the Apostle Paul. He was speaking, right? And the purpose there in the church, right, was to identify certain problems, certain areas, issues that were taking place, right? But his strategy, his mindset, his mission, right, was to come, amen, with solutions, with being a problem solver, amen? He came, amen, to proclaim the truth of God. He came to preach the truth of God. And I don't know about you, but I need the truth of God in my life. Right, I need to hear the truth of the gospel. I need to hear the truth of Jesus. Amen. And what we also see it in the life of Paul in this particular area, right? He was training others. He was training and he was teaching believers. He was teaching the new person that came into the Victory Outreach Church. Come on now. Right, he was teaching the new convert. He was trying to teach and train believers to be disciples, to be committed people. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Right? And he was teaching them to be committed in a messed up community, in a messed up city. Right? A city of destruction and chaos. Amen. And we see that so much things were taking place in this particular area. Right? In the Corinth church. Right, and in this particular set of passage, I begin to place my imagination on a race. Right, some of you right now are thinking of a race. Maybe some of you are thinking of a NASCAR race. Some of you thinking are right now probably of cross country or something. Right, horse racing, whatever the case is. Right, but when I was reading, amen, this area, I started to think of a race. Amen. See, winning a race requires purpose and discipline, but it also causes for a commitment. Here this night, I titled the message, those that are taking notes, A Generation That Commits to a Marathon. Amen. A generation that commits to a marathon. And see, as we take a sharp look, amen, in this portion of scripture, we see that Paul was using this illustration. He was using this illustration, right, to communicate to the people there in Corinth. He was using this illustration, amen, to paint a picture, right, to give a clear breakdown and a clear understanding and a revelation to the church, right? And we see it in the Gospels, right, where Jesus used many, many illustrations, right, to preach his truth, to get across the message to the certain believer, to the future leader, right, to the upcoming committed disciple, wherever they were, right? And we see that Paul was using this illustration to connect, right, to bring truth into the hearts of the people there in the church. Can somebody say amen? And see, he was simply sharing what it was going to take to be a true end-time Christian. He was simply sharing what it was going to be to be a disciple that commits to Jesus, right, that operates in Christianity, that walks by faith and not by sight, right? He was simply sharing these areas, what it was to be a disciple committed in this race, in this marathon, right? See, that being even a Christian was going to take some hard work. It was going to take some self-denial and preparation. And we know that our pastor, he's been expounding and hitting in this series. We're in the series of commitments within our church. And we see the committed moments in ministry. We see the committed moments, right, when we hit the streets and certain areas of run for hope, right? Committed to the call of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. To be a generation that commits to a marathon. See, as a generation, we must understand the value of running towards a heavenly prize, running towards a heavenly reward. We must understand that as people that not only just come to the church, but that are serving in the church. Right, that are committed to serve Jesus, that are hungry, amen, for the power of God, for the Spirit of God to move in and through an individual's life. Are you agreeing with me here tonight? Right? And see, some of you may ask, how do I train myself like the Bible says? Right? How do I discipline myself like an athlete does? Because it's all in the scriptures, what I was just reading, right? And I don't know about you, but when I would read certain things like this, I had questions. I had questions, I had concerns. I was like, okay, how can this take place? How do I do this? How do I do that? Right? And I'm going to give it to you here this night. See, one of the simplest ingredients for training and discipling our lives as believers, right, as a generation, as people in this marathon race is intercessory prayer. We see in the book of Psalms chapter 143, verse 10, the Bible says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. I don't know about you, but I pray that scripture all the time, right? I pray that scripture all the time because I need God's constant direction. I need God's constant guidance within my life, right? When we're in intercessory prayer, when we're praying to the Lord, asking God to guide us through this marathon, help us, amen, in this race that Paul is illustrating. Come on now. Right? See, I don't know about you, but it takes the power, right? Of being a prayer warrior. It takes the power of being a praying soldier. I mean, it takes the power, right, of being a praying runner. I don't know about you, but I know I got to get into prayer, right? I know if I want to continue to run, I know if I want to continue to endure. I don't know about you, but if I want to continue to persevere, I must value this area called prayer. I got to value it. I got to value this area of prayer. We as Christians, as believers, new people that are coming in, right? We speak the truth of God, and we know it's not going to be an easy walk with the Lord. I had the privilege and opportunity to go to the rescue mission last night and preach to 50 men. Amen. I had the opportunity. It's a privilege. I'm shaking every guy's hand. Amen. God bless you. Nice to meet you. Right? They said that they'd never seen an altar call like that before. I led so many men to the Lord. God used me. Amen. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He's the one that gets the praise. I'm a vessel that looks at myself like, man, I'm unworthy. Like, you know, I could look at it like, what? Like, God, are you sure me? Right? But it's all part of the process. It's all part of being committed. It's all part of the marathon. It's all part of the race. Right? See, prayer gives the Christian runner stamina. Come on, somebody. I'm going to say that one more time. See, prayer gives the Christian runner stamina. And some of you may not know what the word stamina means, and I'm going to give you the definition here tonight. The definition of stamina is the ability to sustain prolonged physical or mental effort. In other words, it gives us a staying power. In other words, it gives us an endurance, right? In other words, it gives us a determination to speak it over our life that, you know what, that I'm going to continue to move. I'm going to continue to press in. Amen. I have a prize to reach. I have a heavenly reward to reach. Amen. I don't know about you, but it stirs me up. It stirs me up when I value prayer, when I'm in prayer and I'm reading the Word of God. Right? But we got to back it up too. As the message goes forth, we also have to apply the message. I was speaking that actually to the man last night there. They sing a song over there at the rescue mission. Just a closer walk with thee. Oh yeah. Just a closer walk with thee. Oh yeah. And they're mentioning Jesus. Right? And then they're singing. And the Lord was just using me. The Lord was just operating through me. And I said, amen, through the message, right? I preached a salvation message to them, right? But I was letting them know. I said, you know, okay, a closer walk with thee, yes, but we got to apply that walk with thee, with him. Amen. Come on now, right? We can sing it, right? We can be there, we can sing it, but we got to apply that, right? We got to apply it. Can somebody say amen? See, when activated prayer is in our lives, it is what gives us the boost we need to stay within this race. I'm going to say that one more time. See, when activated prayer is in our lives, it is what gives us the boost. It's what gives us the energy. It's what gives us the drive, the forwarding, right? That we need to stay within this race. Amen. And I'm going to give some examples here tonight. At one point in my life, I was committed to the world. As we see the script, as we see some of the pictures, I was committed to marijuana. Amen. I was committed to marijuana. I was committed to weed. That's what I did. I used to smoke weed. I mean, I stayed with a blunt. I stayed with two blunts. Come on. Right? I was rolling up huge blunts, big blunts, fat blunts. Right? I stayed smoking. That was my thing. Right? It was like with the enemy, he was distracting me in this race of running with the devil. I was running with the devil. I was involved in a committed race. I was involved in a committed race to the enemy. Right? I mean, as you see it, I was right there smoking. And I didn't care. I would post it on Facebook, social media. I said, if you want to come match a blunt, if you got three blunts, Give me a call. Text me. Inbox my Facebook. We can meet up and we could go smoke in the park. We can meet up and we can hotbox in a car. Come on. Right? I know there's some former pajes in the house here tonight. Right? And some of you can relate to what I'm speaking. Right? And I wasn't only involved and committed to smoking marijuana, to smoking weed. Right? That was just the beginning. I started smoking weed when I was 11 years old. I started at 11 years old. And then it excelled to me drinking alcohol. Those cans that the guys are holding are Four Locos. They're called Four Locos. The Four Locos have a 12% alcohol in each can. And I used to drink 3, 4, 5 of them a night. And sometimes I would continue. And I would continue. And after I passed out, I wake up. I'm like, man, where's the rest of my beer at? Where's the rest of my Four Locos at? Where's my bottle at? I'm looking for my bottle. Come on now, if you don't see, I'm holding a bottle right there. But that was me in the past. It was something that I was committed to. And that there was another type of drug that I was committed to, and that was pills. We had the picture, amen, it would just didn't happen to be up there, but I had the picture. I ended up looking through all my old Facebook, right, and the Lord was just ministering. I was like, okay, God, how am I going to do this gang takeover? What are you going to speak, right? What are you trying to relate to a young generation, to a people, right? And then there was a picture I had of, I think, 15 Vicodins, hydrocodones. I would pop hydrocodones, Vicodins, to Percocets, to morphine pills. And then it accelerated, right, to using heroin one day. I was shooting heroin. I snorted heroin. I actually OD'd on heroin once, died for a minute and a half. But I was also drunk, too. I was drunk. I was intoxicated with alcohol. Right? But little did I know that this area of being committed to the merit that we're running with the enemy, it was destroying me. It was slowing me down. See, the enemy's evil task was to kill, steal, and destroy. But since God delivered me, right, the words of Jesus, his word says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. There has been a spiritual fire. There has been a spiritual energy. There has been a spiritual stamina given by the person of the Holy Spirit when operating in the Word of God. Right? And as you see me afterwards, I that's 7 months into my salvation right there. That's 7 months into my salvation, sent straight from the men's home. Come on, somebody. Some of the men's home are thinking like, man, well, you got to graduate in 7 months? Hey, man, that was all God. He's the one that spoke through the man of God. The man of God is the one that came up here and said, we're going to send him to the training center. He's ready. God is ready to use him. And that was me already in my word, Bibled up, prayed up, read up. Right? That was me in the word. That was me praying. Right? That's me today, praying, reading the word. We see a picture right here, right, when we had a big, I think it was a gang regional. Pastor Doug, he's praying for all the gang leaders in the region right here at our altar. And this is all being part of committed to the race, of praying, of interceding, right? Being read up, being fasted up, prayed up in Jesus, right? An individual that's committed to this race stays focused on reaching their mark. And amen, this last picture of me is what I'm living here today, is me as a committed young man of God in the church, serving the Lord, serving Jesus and the God's anointed now generation. Amen. It's everything that God has been doing is what allows me to commit. And I love when our pastor is speaking and he's, amen, and he's preaching. Right, he says, we have that in us. We were using it for the enemy. Why not use it for Jesus now? And he's right. He's right. And when I would hear those messages, I'm like, man, he's right, God. That's like a third heaven revelation to me. I don't know about you, but I receive a revelation
that continues to give me the stamina to run, that continues to give me the energy to move forward, that continues to give me the power to move forward in this race, to endure this marathon with Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. If you read with me in verses 24 as we get, amen, to the message, if you read with me in verse 24, the Bible says in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 9, it says, don't you realize, turn to your neighbor and say, don't you realize? Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win, right? You and I, we have to run to win, right? And I believe that there's many, many things, and it's crazy how the rapping and everything flowed, right? He was saying that we got to do this and that for our families. We got to do this and that, right, for our ministries. Brother Mike, as he came up here, right, he was rapping it, right? Right, that's what we have to do. We have to run to see our families give their lives to Christ. We have to run, amen, to see lives changed by the dynamic influence of the Holy Spirit. We have to run to experience the power of God, transform the alcoholic, to transform the drug addict, to transform the gang member, the prostitutes, amen. The individuals that's just so focused on life. That's just so focused on life, and that's just how the enemy sometimes comes. Amen. My dad's like, I'm cool, man. He says, I know I need God. One day I'll get there. Right? But my dad has his, you know, he has his house. He has his nice vehicle. He has money in the bank. Right? He has this and that. Right? And sometimes people, you know, he's a hard worker. He goes to the bars on the weekend. Right? He goes and plays pool, plays darts, all those things. Right, and some people can be distracted. Well, I'm not killing nobody. I'm not stealing from nobody. I'm working. I'm doing what I gotta do to take care of my family, and it's good to do that. Yes, you know. Yes, you know. You're the head. You gotta take care of the family, right? But there's something more than that, right? Did Jesus not commit himself to you and I? Right? Did he not commit himself to you and I so we can one day have an experience in heaven, so we can have an experience and have an opportunity, right, to live in heaven? I don't know about you, but that goes through my mind all the time. And I got to constantly pray and intercede, God, strengthen me through this day, strengthen me through the process, strengthen me through the wilderness, because I know the temptations are going to come. I know the hard times are going to come, right? But we got to be a people, in Christianity, we got to be a people in leadership and disciples, right, that are taking their place. We got to value this area. And if you don't value that area, I suggest you start valuing that area, right? We run for hope. Come on, somebody. We're running for hope. Hey, amen. That's what the Lord was giving me too. I'm like, okay. Whoa, the next day is run for hope. He gave me this scripture and everything. Right? I was gonna wear a gang t-shirt, the regional one. That thing's booming, the third wave. I was gonna wear that shirt, amen. But I was like, man, why not? We're running for hope. We're running for hope, amen, for our families, for our ministries, for the community, for the city, right? To see life groups take their place, to see life groups be launched out, to see leaders and people be used in a mighty and powerful way by God. Can the church say amen? We do this for people. We run for people. We run to see people get saved. See, we as a committed generation run for purpose. We as a committed generation and people, we run because we're committed to the call of God. Amen. If you go with me in verses 25 in the same chapter, the Bible speaks and says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you disciplined in your training? Ask them, look at them like, man, are you sure? Say, are you positive? Come on, somebody. The scripture says, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we, as a church, we do it for an eternal prize. You and I, we do this for an eternal prize. See, our prize is yes, an eternal life in heaven. But see, an athlete that's committed in disciplining themselves, that are training themselves in prayer, training themselves in the word, practicing the word in action, will continue to move us further within this race. It'll continue to take us further and further and further, step after step. And I learn how to value these areas. I learn how to come under the man of God and say, amen, pastor, you're right. That's what keeps me. And I got to just stay humble before Jesus, because I see his life. He's a great example. See his life. Amen. And God, for some reason, continues to move us forward, move us, because he wants to take you and I glory to glory. He doesn't want to keep you the same. He doesn't want it to just to be routine, right? He wants to bring something fresh and brand new into your life. Amen? There's something he wants to do, right? If you go with me also in the verses right below, verses 26 and verse 27, the Bible says in verse 26, he says, "So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing." He says, "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Right? And see here, the Apostle Paul, what he was trying to tell the church, he was saying, he says, come on, somebody, he's trying to speak to you and I. He's trying to say that if I'm not in my word, right, if I'm not in the Bible, if I'm not practicing the word of God, if I'm not fasting, if I'm not doing these things, and if I'm preaching, right, the word of God, I myself might be disqualified. And he was speaking the truth, right? Because we know about Apostle Paul. He traveled different regions all across the world, continents, countries, making impacts, building churches, establishing churches, raising up churches, leaders, disciples, taking their place all across the world. Right? See, Paul was backing up everything he said when he preached the gospel, when he was ministering. See, without the dynamic of God's active word in us, we stop running. And the reason why I'm able to say that is because I've seen it in other people's lives. And that's what gripped me with a holy fear, because the Bible says work out your own salvation, right, with fear and trembling. Right? I don't know about you, but when I seen certain people get, I was like, man, I said, no, I don't want that to happen to me, God. And I had to value these areas of prayer and getting into the word, because I don't want to be disqualified. Right? Delivering a message. And this is an anti-message. Can somebody say amen? Amen? Right? See, without the dynamic of prayer operating through us, we get disqualified. We get disqualified. Without applying that area, we see the enemy come and, amen, he roars. And he's seeking, he's watching, he's looking. There's many crazy temptations that were coming my way. Amen. And I was like, whoa. I know that's of the devil, but I was in prayer. Come on, somebody, I was in the word of God. Amen, I was fasting. Amen, that's what allowed me to endure. That's what allowed me to overcome any temptation. That's what allowed me to be furthered in this marathon of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Without that dynamic of prayer and reading the word operating through us, we get disqualified. Slowly but surely, you start running off the race line. Then boom. You die out. Certain people are, amen, just might look at prayer like, okay, this is another area of prayer. We got to be careful, right? We're communicating with Jesus. We're communicating with God. And we got to be careful, right? Because the enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's his aim. That's his target. That's his task. He don't like none of us because we're made in the image of God. He created us in his image, in his likeness. right? And the devil don't like that. The enemy don't care if you got a good paying job and you're taking care of your family, right? Not committed to Jesus, not in your Bible, not in prayer with God, right? Fellowshipping with the body of Christ, fellowshipping with the believers. Jesus himself, he ate with the believers, right? He talked with them. The only time he was alone is when he went and prayed. Even Jesus himself held himself accountable. He stood accountable, right? He fellowshiped with the church. He was with his disciples. The disciples were with him, right? I want to be accountable. I want to be in tune with Jesus because I love Jesus. Come on, somebody. I said I love Jesus. Do we have a church that loves Jesus? Do we have a church that's focused on winning that eternal prize? Do we have a church, right, that's mission-minded? As I go ahead and call up the worship team, as they go ahead and make their way, I truly believe that the Apostle Paul had to create this illustration. Amen. He has to create this illustration for the people there in Corinth, right? So they can cultivate, so they can be trained, and so they can improve themselves. Come on, somebody. I believe there were some leaders in that church. I believe that there were some disciples that were there in prayer and, you know, with the worship. And I believe that there were some people, right, that they were operating. It was a church. Church was taking place. Right? And I believe he was speaking and trying to communicate to a church to say, you know what? Gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. You gotta make sure you're in your word. You gotta make sure you're worshiping God. You gotta make sure you're praying. Because God wants to continue to improve our lives. God wants to continue to train our lives at different levels. I mentioned to Pastor, I was a pastor the other day, it just came out of me right there in his office. I had no problem sharing. I was a pastor. I said, hey, if you see something within me that still I could change or some adjustments or whatever it is, Pastor, I said, what if you see something that maybe I may be off track or something, I said, can you help me? Or, you know, he says, amen. He says, good stuff. Good stuff. And that was like, man, amen. He was like, don't get mad if I, And I've been praying, oh, God, give me the strength and give me the empowerment in those areas where my pastor disciples me at greater levels. I know you anointed the man of God, right? I know he's been called of God. So I give him that area of my life, right? I believe he was also speaking to illustrate this, to communicate with the people there, amen, to be a people that commits to this marathon, to be a people that get greater alignment, that become in greater alignment with Jesus, right? With the Father's purposes and with the Father's will for your life. And I got a question here tonight. Are you in alignment with the Father's will for your lives? That's my question here tonight. Are you in alignment with God's purposes and God's plan for your life? Because we're an end time ministry, we're an end time church. Speaking about commitment, that's nothing to play with. That is nothing. I know, it's like a reverence, like a holy fear. I said, God, go before me, and that's it. You be the one operating through. I'm just a vessel, God. Through all those smoking and drinking and popping pills, gang banging, got all types of crazy tattoos. All my tattoos are gang affiliated. Cobra this, Spanish Cobra that. And God still saved me. I've been stabbed. I got stabbed by a vice lord in my stomach, inches away from my heart. Got two stab wounds. 18 years old, just fresh out of the house of correction. I always tell people that was my second house, the house of correction in Franklin. And I tell people that, man, that was my second house, but now I'm in the house of God. Now I'm in the house of God. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt your next level is this, your next step in this race is? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt, okay, this is what God wants for my life in this next step, in this next level. This is what he definitely, I know for sure. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know for sure that this is what God has for me in this next level, in this next step, in this marathon. If you do, you're going to take off. Come on now. If you do, you're just going to see God move. You're going to see God forward you. You're going to see God use you in your gift like never before, right? You're going to see, amen, the miraculous come on, somebody from heaven, amen, be unleashed through your life. You're going to see it, and you're going to know it's God. You're going to know it's the Father. And if not, be careful. If you don't know, you got to be careful. All the messages that are being spoken and preached, devotions, Bible studies, commitment. Gotta be careful. Stay focused, my brother, my sister. See, there was many sins that were taking place there in that specific time in the church, right? Paul spoke against pride. He spoke against sexual sin. He spoke about worshiping false idols, idolatry, and etc. But Paul himself exemplifies through this chapter what he had to do to bring others to Jesus. And we've seen that he hung out with the Jews. He became a Jew. He hung out with the Gentiles. He became a Gentile, right? He hung out with the weak people, right? He was weak with them. But one thing Paul never did was apart from the laws of God. He never aparted from the laws of God. In other words, he stayed committed. He stayed committed to lead people to Jesus. He stayed committed to lead people to the Lord. And the Lord sees I try my best to follow up and invite people and do these areas. Because I want to be a committed soldier that he sees. Amen. See, a committed runner in this marathon abides by the rules and regulations of God. All over this place to stand. Our aim, amen, as a people is to run for hope for others so they too can run a good race. As we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, he says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. The next verse says, preach the word of God, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with a good teaching. Verse 3 says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Verse 4 says, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. Verse 5 says, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Verse 6 says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I remain faithful. Verse 8 says, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. For you and I, we have to keep in mind this race, this prize. Amen. So others can be won over for Christ.
right? We're saved, but it's for bridging others so we can fight this good fight together as a church in these end times that we're living in. Whatever the song is, go ahead right there. Just talk to Jesus. Lift up your hands. Talk to Jesus.